Welcome to Actors 2020 Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Keith, and today we're going to continue the season of The Woman. And we have the absolute privilege of speaking with Charlotte Larson. She's an actor. She's a producer. She's a creative director. She has her own film company called Random Films. So how does somebody that was born in New Zealand, raised in the London countryside, get to be this amazing executive producer, actor, writer, and creative director? Why don't we just get Charlotte on the phone and let's see what she has to offer you? And here we go.
Hello.
Hey, Charlotte. It's Johnny Keith from Actors 2020 Podcast. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great.
Where did it all kind of start for you? I know you're like an executive producer. Did it start, I think, when you were 10 years old, you got denied for a play and you're like, wait a minute, you don't want me?
I was doing a play in school. We were doing a play called The Water Baby, and I got cast as a water baby because I was the smallest in the class. I really wanted to be one of the policemen because they were funny. They were got all the laughs. They were like a comedy duo. I was really disappointed. I was like, damn it, I don't want to be the little one in the play. So that was my first play and my first rejection. So I started young.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you actually got the part. So you got a part, you just got a different part.
Yeah, it was one of the school plays, so everyone got a part, but you know, you had to say what you wanted, and I didn't get what I wanted, so yeah, I was rejected from the beginning.
I'm sure as a producer casting people, someone's coming in red, and they thought for sure they're going to get that part, and as a producer, you're like, wow, she would be great for Jenny. She can't play Robin, but have you done that before, cast somebody just like that?
For some people, it might be, you know, you don't look like the mom we've already cast, but you'd be great as something else, and we want to work with you because you're talented, and so it does work that way sometimes.
Do you speak fluent French?
Not fluent. I grew up in England, and so we did French in school. And I did that for many years, and I was pretty fluent at the time. But then as you go through adulthood and don't use it so much, you lose it a bit. But my grandmother lives in France. When I go and visit her, I try and use it, but usually the French talk back in English, so that doesn't really help.
Yeah, I know. It's the same thing. I just interviewed somebody else. She spent Moroccan Arabic, and it's the same thing. Well, when I lived there, I could talk it, but not anymore. People, they get that card by, oh, I was in the union over in London or Canada, and I came to the States and I got it, or I got Taft Hartley. It was interesting. You actually got yours from a live action production called Square Brains.
Great, talented filmmaker friends of mine. We're putting this thing together and they're like, come on, be in their project. Perfect. And you'll get that. Amazing. Like, I'm totally for that. And so we shot in Kentucky where the filmmakers are, and I went down there for a few days and then did the show and got that. It was great.
So most of the production money was probably spent on cheese.
Actually, yeah, I would imagine so. I basically was a half mouse, half detective. We basically solve crime and eat cheese.
That's pretty good. You're like, enough of this cheddar. Can I get some Swiss?
I have to eat more cheese. I'm done.
Because I have a friend who's from New Zealand and everyone's like, oh my God, I love your voice. So you can turn that on and turn it off because I don't hear a lot of it right now speaking with you.
I've been in LA now for 10 years. My family are like, you sound American. Can you come home? No, I'm staying here. It comes and goes. Sometimes you'll hear a word and you'll be like, oh, there it is. And I also grew up in England, so I had an English accent. My accent's kind of all over the place, depending who I'm talking to and where I am.
When it says you were raised in the countryside of England, I'm picturing you like riding the horse to school. Da-da-da, countryside.
I did horse riding lessons during the weekends when I was, you know, out of school and so on. Didn't ride a horse to school.
Was it kind of a quiet upbringing then?
I was actually in boarding school for about 5 years growing up. So that was in the countryside, but living at home, I was at school in the local village. And so that was great. It was a local day school and got a bus to school like everyone else.
That's funny when you say you were doing that movie in Kentucky because you did movies like in New Zealand, Mexico, the United Kingdom, which is like wherever it is. You're just going to go and do it, huh?
The work is there and it's the project I want to do. Then I'm happy to travel. I love traveling. You know, I've never been to Kentucky before that. Decided to do that. And I'd never been to Mexico before. Yeah, I'll go to Mexico. It's really great that what I do gives me the freedom to travel, which is something I love to do, and I also get to work at the same time.
When you were at USC for that summer, what did you learn there?
Crazy experience, which is great. It was fantastic, and I loved every minute of it, which is perfect. So we were at Universal Studios once a week, and we were talking to different people in the industry, and we had directors and location people and sound designers and all kinds of things going on, which was amazing to kind of get immersed in that world. And especially, I just graduated college, and so, okay, this is how it works in America, and this is how it works on productions that I haven't been involved with. And so it was a really fantastic summer. I made a lot of friends who are still working in the industry and I still keep in touch with, and it was just an amazing experience.
So you had that experience and you're like, you know what? I don't need to go to school or any of this. I'm just going to open my own film company, Random Films. So where did the word random come from?
Kind of a play on words. It was, that's random, weird, or different, or outside the box kind of thing, which is what I wanted to do. And I also didn't want to get stuck in a genre. I didn't want to be a horror film or drama or whatever. So I was kind of like, random films makes a lot of sense because we do things that are a little, next week we're doing a horror film and the week after we're going to be doing a comedy. And so I didn't want to be stuck in a box and I didn't want to be tied to a genre or tied to an image. You know, you have companies who are, they dab you in the dark productions. Okay, you know what they're going to be doing, but I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I didn't want to be stuck doing one thing. So it kind of was an amalgamation of all those thoughts.
I know, because thinking back when I interview people, they do name their company specifically for stuff and they're stuck with it. You're random. It could be anything. That's great. New York Film Academy. How long did you spend there? And that was in LA, right?
I just did the summer acting program there. So it was about 6 or 8 weeks of full-time immersive acting. Again, at Universal Studios, the directing students and the acting students got together once a week to do a short film on the back lot at Universal, which was also an incredible experience. So I was very fortunate to have that experience as well.
Wow, you're so lucky. But you take acting classes now, like Stella Adler?
I'm a grad of Stella Adler. I did the 2-year program there, part-time. So I didn't do it in 2 years, but completed it eventually. And I'm also on the board there and very excited to still be involved with the school because they're such a great place to be. It's so great. The people there are really supportive. They've basically become my family. So I'm so fortunate, again, that I've had that experience as well.
Were you in plays like that? Or what did you do for those 2 years?
It's a whole bunch of classes. It's voice class and movement class and technique class and scene study and Shakespeare and everything involved. And during the 2-year program, you do 3 productions, guided a bit more by the director because for a lot of people, it's their first play ever. So you get a lot of direction and a lot of help. And then by the 3rd production, you're guided a little bit, but it's like you've done all the work. You've had the 2 years of technique and classes. You go off and do it yourself and the director to direct when he needs to. And so you transition from, I've never done a play before to, I know what I'm doing now because I'm a trained actor and I can do this. Such a great experience.
So I used to produce films as well. And then you always have this, well, do I buy the camera? It's only $4,000. Or do I rent it, which would be $8,000? I'm not sure. So what did you do when you were using the Canon XL2? Because I used the Canon XL1 and I had a different lens and all that. So what did you do with that? Did you rent that or did you guys just buy it?
Well, if we rent it 5 times, basically, we will be spending the same as buying it. So we might as well buy it because we're going to use it 20 times. So you do the math and you're like, okay, well, we don't have that money right now. Maybe you rent it a couple of times just to kind of get used to it. And, oh, this is how it works. And this is the camera that I want to use. And then you go and buy it. But we bought our camera.
And then later on when you go to sell it, you're like, that's all you're giving me? No, I paid $5,000.
Yeah, you're like, I paid $20,000 for this. You're giving me $200.
Exactly. When that guy came over and bought it, I just went, what? I had the Panasonic AG, whatever that one was. Of course, I bought that one too. Then you try to sell it later. I'll give you $100 for that. And go, no, I spent $4,000 on it. And now you're like, back pocket, iPhone. Let's make a movie.
It's crazy how my experience, having done this, my first camera was the XL2. And now it's like, oh, I have my phone. Let's go. I'm like, oh, okay. Don't we need a cinematographer? Nope, we're good.
Your roommate's story about the Italian immigrant series, did that ever get made? Or how far along are you with that?
We're still in the script development stage right now. We've had a few drafts of that. My co-creator, the writer of that project, he's also my roommate, my best friend, co-collaborator. We've been working on other projects and we've got things going on. And so we are like fingers in all the pies. That project's currently being written again. You go through 20 drafts before you're happy with anything. And especially because I'm not the writer on that project, so I can't really force it. Have you written that yet? And they're like, no, I don't know what to do. And you're like, okay, well, sure. Next, it's called Life From Here.
Life From Here. That's awesome. And that one film that, I guess, it took 10 years, but you spent 8 years working on it. What was the name of that one?
That was Gloria. That was the Mexican film that I did.
Was that satisfying when you finally got it done?
I love the end product. And I think the director and all the people who worked on that project were so phenomenal. The project, the film in the end is just amazing. So I'm really proud of them and I'm really happy and excited that came out.
Yeah, that's awesome. To me, making a film is almost like real estate investing. You go and you do everything and then you go to escrow and they're like, did they do the Columbo? You know what? There's just one more thing before we close. There's one more thing. There's a child support lien. I don't know about the title. I'm like, oh my God, I just want my money back at this point.
It's funny you say that. I'm in the middle of selling my house right now. So I'm like, ah.
I work for real estate agents. That's why. I'm also a real estate broker, but all I do is referrals. Here's a seller. You take care of them. Then give me that 25%. So have you ever given like an actor advice as a producer because you have that foundation?
Sometimes people come to me and they're like, I want to get going in acting. How do I do that? And I've been an actor myself. So it's not like I'm like, well, do this and you'll get famous. I've done the acting process. I've been to acting school. I've been an actor on set and theater and film. And so people come to me and ask me questions. And I really like when an actor comes to me, I can also be like, this is what's going to happen behind the scenes. And you can expect this to happen because as a producer, I'm experiencing that as well. So I think having both sides has been really beneficial to me. And I hope that I can pass that on to other people as well.
Right. So that's called Legends, set in the 1980s. So you shot the pilot with that. Did that get picked up or what's going on with that?
We're still working on that. There's more episodes to get done. And hopefully anytime soon, we'll be done and out there in the world.
What's on your plate right now?
I'm working on another project with Michael, my roommate, and he's written this amazing TV pilot, and I'm so proud and excited about this project. It's set in 1980s Manhattan, about a group of underdogs trying to find their way in the city and dealing with things going on, you know, politically, and it's an amazing script, and I can't wait for the world to see that.
What's the name of that one?
That one's called Neon Light.
I was just looking at that, because it says you're an actress in that as well, right?
Yeah, potentially. We always writing for the benefit of the work. I don't ever put myself in anything because, oh, I'm an actor, put me in it. Things come up, then I'm happy to jump in and be the actor. But right now, on this project, I'm the producer, and I'm trying to get that going, and maybe an acting part for me later on down the road.
Maybe. I know, because most people I talk to, oh, I'll get the production company just so they can have their own stuff. I mean, I did it myself, too. You get tired of not getting a big part, so hey, I'll just produce it myself, and I'll be the star. Not as easy as it looks.
A lot of times, I produced a movie in New Zealand that was a hip-hop dance movie, and I have 3 left feet. I'm just going to sit this one out. I'll stay behind the scenes on this one.
I know, because most of your credits on Internet Movie Database are as a producer, and there's some actresses there, too. And I guess you finally said, you know what, I'm doing all these productions. Why don't I just act every now and then and just throw yourself in? Because you have a really great look. You know, there's not a lot of people that look like you, so it's either going to be you or you.
I started acting when I was 10 years old. That was always what I wanted to do, and then fell into producing, so I wasn't acting. And then, you know what, I'm seeing my friends do these shows at the theater, and I'm going to the theater twice a week, and I'm going to see movies twice a week. I need to be doing that. So that was what brought me to LA. I got into Stella Adler, and the rest is history, as they say.
I like your quote where you say working as an actor gives you a chance to become someone else. You get to become someone else, and you get an insight into what other people, how they can learn about just the human condition. And then you say, but the producer gives you the chance to work with your brain, solve problems, and look at it from a different angle. That's kind of cool. I like that.
I love being an actor. I can be an astronaut in a space movie this week, and then, hey, do you want to be in 1800s Victorian London? These are things that people don't get to do, and it's so exciting. And even just being a doctor or a lawyer or things that one person does for the rest of their life, I get to do that for a little bit and experience that and go, whoa. And I don't have to go to medical school or law school, but I get to, for half an hour on a show, be a doctor or whatever it is. So it's really exciting. And then behind the scenes, the producer putting pieces of the puzzle together. It's the director and the thing guy, and you have to kind of watch everything move and make sure it all moves smoothly. So watching the cogs turn behind the scenes is just as exciting as being whoever you are today in front of the camera.
I think that's really cool. I like that a lot. But that's great, you know, because some actors, you know, like, oh, you know, it's all about me. I'm showing up. It's about me. And they don't even know what the script supervisor does. So having all that producing and being a creative director, you can appreciate when you go on the set now, because, you know, it takes a village. You can appreciate, hey, even though I'm the actor, that person's just as important. If even it's just the gaffer or the best boy or whatever, we're all in this together. I'm just playing this one little part.
As an actor, I appreciate that everyone from the person getting your coffee in the morning to the director to the executive producer at the studio, if it's one of those productions, everyone's on the same level. Everyone's equal within that production. They might have a better title and more pay, but without the person who gets your coffee for the director's not going to do his job. So as an actor, I'm ready to work, but it takes a long time between scenes to set up and move lights and do all that stuff. If there's a long delay because something's happened, I can understand that and appreciate that, and I don't have to stress out, so I can do my job better as well. So, oh, okay, we have an extra half hour? Well, that's because of a light blowing or something. I'm just going to sit here and read my book or work on my script or whatever it is, and I'm not stressing going, why am I not on set? You know, what's happening? So, and from the other's perspective as well, like as a producer, if there's an act, I need this, I need a massage, or I need water. Okay, like some people have their processes. Some actors will say, only talk to me my character name. I'm not going to answer to my real name. And you go, oh, yeah. Some people are like, well, that's just really pretentious, and why would they do that? As a producer, I understand that. That's their process, and that's how they get where they're going. So I can be like, okay, I respect that. Both sides are so much fun, but understanding the other side when you're doing the other job helps you in both sides of your career.
So you never did any extra work or anything like that?
I did a little bit of extra work. I was a background actor on a TV show in New Zealand, which was a docudrama about what would happen if there was this huge earthquake in New Zealand, which we're expecting. New Zealand is also prone to earthquakes, and oh, that was many years ago. I think I was still in college way back in the day, but I did some extra work. I was a refugee in a camp there from the earthquake, and then I've done a little bit of extra work here and there as well.
Even on that level, especially here in LA, it is so competitive. I mean, let's say you can ride a motorcycle and juggle with one hand while you're doing nunchucks with the other hand. You're like, wow, I'm perfect for that. You submit. They never call you because there's that many other people that can do it too.
I saw the finished product when they've done, and I see the person who got the job. And, okay, well, that was an interesting choice they went for. That wasn't me at all, but you never know. It's such a weird world. It could just be that you look like the girlfriend of the director who just broke up with him, and he doesn't want to look at you because you look too similar, and it reminds you. He never knows. I just do the audition, and all right, I'm done. What's the next thing? I don't think about it. it. I don't dwell on it. I don't get angry. I didn't get the part. I kind of go, I think of each audition as a job, and I'm in, I do my job, and I get out. So that's how I think of it.
I love that. That's my attitude now, even though I did the writing, directing, producing. I love producing anyway, but that's your jam out of all of them, acting, writing, producing. Is that your jam, producing, putting it together?
Well, I'm not much of a writer. I tend not to do that. That's for people who are more talented than me, but I love both. Wherever I am, if I'm acting or producing or even just hanging out, if I'm on a film set or a theater stage, I'm just happy. So I'm really excited to be part of the process, and I really enjoy it. And anytime I'm on set, I'm so happy to be there. That's totally my jam.
Right. So if somebody said, hey, you know what? We did this pilot. It's all ready to go. And the series goes for, say, 3 years. Would you be content just going there for 3 years and being an actor?
I'm totally all about the acting, and I'm all about the producing. And right now, I do want to do more acting just because I've been producing for so long, and acting's fairly new to me in the industry. So I really want to do that. But I would love to be on a 1 hour drama series for the next 3 to 5 years. I'm totally open for that, and I put that in the universe. So we'll see.
That's great. That was one of my biggest questions. That's awesome, because I thought it was just, hey, I'm producer, I'm executive producer. Maybe I'll do an acting thing here and there. So that's good to know. That's awesome.
I try not to think about the money, but I do it for the love of it. The money is nice.
And that's right. And then when you're there, never leave, because you see these actors on this hit series, I'm going to go find a career. And they leave, and the show goes on for 10 more years. They could have been a trillionaire.
And as a producer, it's harder, because even when I'm not on set, I'm like looking at my emails, and I'm trying to figure out contracts and doing, and then working on my next project. I love that. But as an actor, if I had a job where I'm like, just show up, do your thing for 3 years, go home. All right, that works for me.
I like what you said about how as an actor, you just want to, because that's where I'm at now. Even though I appreciate everybody else's gig, I just want to show up, keep my mouth shut, be prepared, shoot my scene, go home. So somebody coming into the business, no matter what it is, what advice would you give them?
I think if you're starting out, you should just start small. If you're an actor or a producer, it doesn't matter what you're doing, but go and do a student film or go and help out on a production. If you're working behind the scenes, you want to be a producer or a director. Who are the people that you want to be like? So is there a director whose style that you really love? Go and maybe even find out where they are and get a contact and say, hey, I just moved to LA. I want to get into the industry. I would love to volunteer to help you out on your next project. Like, there are so many avenues you can get in. And I think you just have to do your research and figure out what you want to do. So if you're an actor, go to school, take classes. Things are online now, but maybe soon things will be back into a classroom and you'll be able to do things. Take class, go and make a film with your friend. Even if it's some kind of artistic 1 minute film of someone running down the street, put the meaning behind it and you've got a film. And, oh, I did this film that I produced, and put it on YouTube, and you don't have to get into a festival or get a streaming contract with Netflix. Put it on YouTube and go, hey, look what I can do. And things will grow from there, and hopefully that'll lead to bigger and better things.
Awesome. So is there anything you want to say that we didn't cover? Something you want to promote or something we didn't cover you'd like to say?
I think we talked about a lot, which was really exciting. I think we covered everything.
That's great. All right, Charlotte, thank you so much for being a guest on my podcast. I really appreciate you coming on, because this is the season of the woman.
Yes.
I'm sure people are listening going, wow, man, if she can do it, I can do it too.
I'm here for the work and for the money, but I also hope that I can pass on something and inspire other people. You know, that's part of what I do. I hope someone out there is listening and says, wow, like, now I want to get into film and be a director. I'm all for that.
Okay, Charlotte, thank you so much for being on my show. I really appreciate it. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right, thank you. Bye.
How you like that? Bada bing, bada boom, boom, boom. Charlotte Larson, let's give it up. Amazing. Wow. Wow. What an amazing woman. Go to her internet movie database page. Just look at our description area and give it a click and look at all her amazing credits. Ah, I want to be like Charlotte. I so appreciate that a woman of her caliber took time out to do my show. I am really, really honored. Thank you so much, Charlotte. Season 5, the season of the woman continues. And this is March, which is the month of the woman. So there's your March Madness for you. Hey, I don't know if anyone out there watches Mom, but man, I just watched my episode. I played the wealthy businessman. It was just a featured extra part in the restaurant scene. But man, it was so much fun to see my face every time they cut to it. I was like, oh my God, it was so fun. So much fun. It was season 8, episode 10, the Valentine's episode. My ex-wife was in the scene sitting across the table from me, but you couldn't see her face because Bonnie's head was blocking her. Actually, our divorce was just final yesterday, but all good things must come to an end. Just like Mom, this is the final season for that too. But life goes on. You just keep moving forward in a very positive way. Speaking of moving forward, we have so many more amazing women coming up on Actress 2020 podcast. PlayboyPlayMatePodcast.com. We have Jennifer Apple. We have Playboy Playmate Jasmine Shojaya. And we have a very famous person in India. I know I'm going to say her last name wrong, but it's Christina Sakia. And we also have Tanya Todd. Those are the four that's coming up next. And we will be interviewing more women. So if you want to be on the show, Actors2020Podcast.com. If you're an awesome, awesome woman and you want to get on Season of the Woman, Season 5, just give me an email at Actors2020Podcast@gmail.com. Well, that wraps up episode 234. You can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. It's all at Johnny Keith, K-E-A-T-T-H. Lots of great things are happening. I just auditioned for a series regular part on a space movie that films in San Diego. A men's magazine is going to interview me, and somebody from UK wants to send me a watch if I post it on Instagram. I don't know about that. We'll see what happens. Be sure to share this episode and leave a review wherever you're listening to Actors 2020 Podcast. I'm your host. Until the next episode. Bye-bye.